Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for iPad Today is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
Coming up, are you back in school?
Yes, then you better be taking some epic notes.
Plus, Score Center gets a makeover, how to prepare a hand-me-down iPad, and we're going to let the curiosity rove around your living room.
All that and your next screenplay is going to make you $1 million. You just have to try this app first on iPad Today.
iPad Today is brought to you by GoToMeeting with HD Faces from Citrix. All you need is a webcam and a click to turn your online meeting into high-definition video conferencing. Meet with colleagues anywhere in the world, even from an iPad. Sign up for your 30-day free trial today. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button, use the promo code iPad. And by Ford. Ford invites tech geeks to join the conversation, submit ideas, and grab a tech geek badge at social.ford.com. Ooh, iPad Today, back to school episode.
Yeah, man. So we've been talking about doing this all summer.
How many years? Yeah, right.
We should get a head start. We should do it before school starts.
Is almost September.
Well, most of the kids went back to school this week.
In this area, yeah. Kids go back to school early. When I was a kid, you went back to school...
After Labor Day.
On the Tuesday after Labor
Day. That's right. That was like clockwork.
Of course, that was in the 30s when we were in the Great Depression in America.
So what else were we going to do?
Needed its children
jobs,
to harvest in the fields all summer long.
Yeah, so it's weird how that happens. In fact, a woman the other day told me her kids were going back to school today. So it's Thursday and Friday, and then they get Monday off.
Yeah.
I don't know.
No, it's very strange. But I think that one of the reasons it's happening in California is because we got no budget. And so actually, the school year is much shorter because they get a lot of days off and stuff, but they make it start earlier to make it appear longer. It's an optical illusion.
But who's fooled? I guess kids.
Kids
are like,
kids
we're going to school more.
Man, we're going to school in August. This is terrible.
It's the worst.
Those teachers must be working extra hard.
We know there are also those year-round schools.
Yeah. I think that's a good idea.
That's more of a trend, really.
So, you know, your iPad, the reason we bring this up is because your iPad is a wonderful tool for school.
It really is.
And in fact, more and more schools are giving kids iPads as they matriculate, which I think is great. And even if you're not a student, you can use your iPad to learn. So we're going to show you some nice apps. Now, we've done this before.
We have. In fact, this is sort of an annual thing.
I think it's our third.
It is, because we've been doing... We've gone through three Labor Days here
on
the show.
That's amazing.
So we decided, hey, it's back to school time, and there are not only a lot of you who want the latest and the greatest, but people who have iPads for the first time.
And the challenge was to come up with stuff that we haven't shown you before, but I think we have some new stuff.
Yeah, we do. The first app is an app that you will be familiar with. We've definitely talked about it before, but it does some new stuff, and that is... Evernote.
I love Evernote. Now, we interviewed Phil Leiben, the CEO of Evernote, on Triangulation 2 weeks ago. So if you're interested, Phil's a great guy.
Yeah, he's cool. We interviewed
at
him
LaWeb.
Back at LaWeb in December, too.
Yeah,
he's a pretty smart cookie. And Evernote does a lot of great stuff. They've expanded quite a bit over the last year. And their iPad app just got a pretty big update that does some interesting stuff. Obviously, the idea behind Evernote is you've got... pictures or notes or websites that you're saving as you go about your day from a variety of places, and it's kind of like a big scrapbook of multimedia, really. So Evernote is not designed only to be used with your iPad, but it's a great way to do to get some original notes into Evernote, but also to be to have all those other notes that you've saved around the web in one place.
Now, I love it that you can put pictures in it, which is really handy because you don't have to be typing always.
One of the new features actually in the next in the latest edition of Evernote is the idea of multi-shot cameras. So I've got this note here, right? This is something that I created. It's somewhat meaningless. This is a picture of my desk, but this is a picture that I took, and then this is actually another picture that I took of my computer screen. It's kind of hard to tell what that is, but that's what it is. So the idea is that this is not just a single note, and then this is some other note. It's almost like a little bit of a photo story. So I can have as many pictures as I want created within a single note. That can be extremely helpful, especially if, maybe you're in a lab, let's say, you know, to put it in the school context, and you've got to take some photos of a bunch of different, geological rocks.
You know what I use it for?
What?
A meal. I take a picture of the menu and then each course.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah, and then you have like a meal note, which is your meal. Yeah.
You could do that in the school cafeteria, I guess. Yeah, I don't know.
Tater tots.
Your four course
school
cafeteria.
And of course, our vegetable, ketchup.
I think it helps. There are many folks who will say, oh, I use Evernote constantly, and I definitely like the camera feature, who will find this helpful because you end up generating fewer notes. So that's just good for organization.
Right.
Also, think about if you've got an actual, a biology book in front of you, and there's all sorts of photos, and for whatever reason, you're going to have your iPad later, but you're not going to have that book with you,
right,
or you just don't want to lug it around with you. Quickly take a bunch of photos that you're going to need to reference later. You've got them in a note, and they're organized that way.
Another great way to use this is to take a note of the blackboard after a great lecture. You could actually take lecture notes in Evernote.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the lecture, take a picture of the blackboard. It's all in one place. It's a great way to keep track of what the teacher was talking about.
Speaking of blackboards, this is actually another feature that Evernote has rolled out called Page Camera, which is designed to be snapshots of physical pages. Okay, so we got it.
I didn't even know about this, and I use Evernote every day.
Well, it's new. This is new.
Okay.
Well, it's about this rollout. I think was like in the last week.
Okay.
The physical page. Yeah, at first, I was like, wait, so it's going to scan it and turn it into
text,
some sort of a document? But it's Evernote doesn't really need to do that for you. What I've gone ahead and done is we actually got a really nice email from David Hahn, who gave you that Pete's gift certificate.
And gave you a little Visa gift card.
That was super unnecessary
so
and
sweet.
Super nice.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. And he wrote us this really nice note. So I went ahead and was like, the note was a little bit too big to be able to read if I actually centered it up.
Right.
But what you do is when you take the photo here, I'll even show you what it looks like so you guys get an idea. This is...
So that's the camera.
Yeah, I'm obviously not taking a picture of a note right now, but you get an idea.
Take a picture of the chat screen. There you go.
Sure. I guess...
that's a note. That's kind of like a note.
I guess so. This is a little bit meta, but over in the upper left-hand corner,
I see
a little...
By the way, the chat room... That nail polish is Blue Steel is the name of that. Blue Steel.
You guys, it's Rusty... Dusty eggplant, okay?
Is it really?
It's not blue steel. No, I made that up. I don't know what it is. It's kind of grayish purple. Whatever.
It's great.
That's
love
not
it.
The point. Watch this.
But people are asking.
Okay.
In the chat room.
Well, okay. It's better than the yellow, apparently, because yellow got...
I love that color.
Thank you. Me too. If I turn this on, now you can see that there's a little gray area around this.
Ah, yes.
Now,
what
the chat
that?
Room's a little far away, but what you're supposed to do is do your best to...
Center?
Yeah, just kind of center up the text that you're
Square
trying
it
to
up,
capture.
Too, because you don't want to have the weird angles.
Yeah.
So it's a chance to square it up.
Well, but if it's a book or something, or a chalkboard, you're not really going
to
get too much of that of an issue.
Okay.
But the idea is you center up as good as possible, and you take the photo... This is going to be a weird example because I was taking a photo of a chat room. But if I go ahead and save that, what Evernote attempts to do is clean it up.
It did.
Clean it up.
That's a great example. It zoomed in on it.
Yeah, okay. I'm glad you like it.
That's a great example.
It's just not the cleanest example because it was kind of far away.
No, but you can read that now.
Well, yeah. I mean,
yeah.
It's okay. I mean, it's a little confused because it's got that monitor up above it. But so here's the example from the nice note that what's his name again? David sent us. This is the three different images of this note, right? So it's not perfect, but this note was taken like sort of in the dark, and there's a crease in the paper, and there
You're
were
kidding.
Shadows,
oh, it cleaned
and
it up
Evernote
a lot.
Cleaned it up really well.
Wow.
So that's why it's helpful, is you can be in all sorts of situations, and you're like, this is text that's very important, and you can kind of take stuff on the fly, and as long as you've centered it up pretty well, you get pretty good results, at least in my trials I did. So that's really helpful.
That's a nice feature. I'm going to use that a lot.
Cool, huh?
It's like a scanner in Evernote.
That's exactly what Evernote wants you to consider it as.
Right.
There's also an interesting feature that, okay, so Evernote has rolled out a smart notebook, a Moleskine smart
this
notebook.
I saw this and I was trying to figure it out. It's a paper notebook.
That's right.
Okay.
So the idea...
But it's Moleskine by Evernote.
Yes, it's an Evernote product. Brian, we actually have the product page.
It includes 3 months of Evernote Premium.
Yeah, which is great. And the idea behind this is, and I honestly think this is great for all of you folks in school who say, yeah, iPads are great and good and everything, but I actually, when I take notes, I've got to write something down. Right. And I don't even want to use a stylus on my iPad. I want to use a notebook, and I want to use a pen.
Right.
This notebook is designed to be used with Evernote to be... If you take a photo of a page that you took on this Moleskine, the photo is automatically tagged and filed. The camera is skew corrected. So I showed you a picture before where the image was a little bit skewed. It'll correct with if you use.
Oh, because there must be a grid on the paper so that you can use
exactly
to correct
right.
the
they talk
aspect
to each
ratio.
Other,
oh,
even
that's
though
really
it's
neat.
Basically just very analog paper and pencil. The thing about this is it's $25.
Yikes! And it ships in 4 to 6 weeks. So
it's a pre-order.
It's not ready yet.
It isn't ready yet. It's very nice.
I like this. So I love Moleskine notebooks. I think they're really cool.
Yeah. So it's.
By the way.
Yes.
There is no correct pronunciation. For Moleskine,
we've been through this.
Yeah, so don't get mad at us.
We'll say it different every time and try to cover.
Because it's our bases. Made up name; it doesn't exist. It's made up, and they don't. If you ask them, they say whatever you want.
Yeah, they don't care.
So LiveScribe. Somebody's mentioning LiveScribe, which was the idea was you have a special gridded paper and a pen that you write, and it records with a camera built into the pen.
Yeah,
very complicated and expensive. This is much more straightforward lot less than a LiveScribe.
I think it's the same idea, and I think for a lot of people it might make more sense just as far
idea.
As your actual habits, and certainly when you're taking notes. I happen to be one of those people where, particularly in math, I can't. I have to, everything's got
to
be longhand.
It.
Yeah. It just,
that's
helps me remember.
Your teacher drilled, show your work into your head over and over again. So you have to show your work.
In math?
Yeah.
No, well, that's the only way you can prove it.
Right.
I have to.
See?
Yeah.
It worked.
You can't just do it in your,
Thank you, Mrs. Annunciato.
Yeah. Okay.
You did good by Sarah.
Annunciato?
Isn't that your math teacher in fourth grade?
No.
Okay.
Fourth grade?
Sixth grade.
Fourth grade was fractions or something. We didn't have math teachers in fourth grade. We just had a teacher.
Okay,
I hated her. Miss Johnson, she was the
worst.
Miss
Johnson is watching
She's
right now
dead
and you
by
broke
now.
Her heart.
She was awful.
Was she a biddy?
She once told me, and I'm going to say the story and then we're going to move on. She once did one of these things where, I'm mad about it to this day.
Yeah.
Around the room, who can name cities, major cities? No. Who can name all the states of California, right?
Yeah, okay.
So California,
all the states of California.
I'm sorry.
Whatever
of
she
of
said.
US.
Yes.
Of the U.S.
Of the U.S.
You know, everyone, raise your hand.
Who can? I could do it, Ms. Annunciato.
Yes.
Ms. Johnson.
Yes. What would you?
New York.
Great. Have I already told the story?
No.
Okay, because that's what I said.
Yeah.
And she said to
you and
me, New York is a city, not a state.
What a nitwit.
And I never forgave her to this day.
Mrs. Johnson, you were wrong then, you're wrong now. You are out of order, sir.
And she wouldn't let me explain. And the whole rest of the class thought I was wrong. Because they were
I have a very similar experience as a child.
Blind.
They asked me to spell deer. And I said D-E-E-R. And she said, no, it's not spelled D-E-E-R.
And you said,
I said,
wait
yes,
a second.
It is. She said, no, it's D-E-A-R. No, I said, no, it's D-E-E-R. And she made me sit on a stool with a dunce cap on. I'll never forget it. New York is a state of mind.
It's both, Miss Johnson.
Miss Johnson.
Your bag.
You biddy, you.
So what's up with Learnest?
Oh, yeah. So this is actually an interesting program, brand new. And the idea is it's kind of the Wikipedia of learning, a collaborative social learning tool. And it's free. And I am really liking it. There's some really cool stuff in here. So if you go to Learnest, you'll see that it has a variety of topics up at the top, including things that we love, like technology, music, food and drinks, health and fitness. But when you sign into it, you sign in with Facebook. You don't have to. But here's what's cool about it. Let's say you're interested in Neil Armstrong. So somebody has created a Neil Armstrong board, they call them, about Neil Armstrong. You can follow it just as you would follow Twitter or whatever. People comment on it. And then people add content to it. So here's the video. And this is a video of the first moon landing. I can scroll through different... There's this Wikipedia article. So basically, it's a scrapbook of information about a topic. Now, the topics could be a variety of topics. And I thought this was kind of cool. Favorite apps for education. These are iPad apps for education is a little meta. You could follow this board, and people have added apps, and then you can vote on it. You can like it. And you can comment on it. So if you say, here's something really good. And you can add other things as well. So this is a really fun way to both collate your own information and then socially share it with other people. And if you look at the variety of stuff here. Now, this is brand new. I suspect a lot of this was seeded by the Learnest folks to get started. Here's Masters of Art. Now, this is so cool. So if you follow this board, you're going to get biographical info and most important works of influential painters in an organized and easy-to-read articles. So Spiros is just like in a Wikipedia page, has said, I'm an expert in this, and I'm going to put together this material so that if you would like to learn more about art, you can learn. There's Jan van Eck. Here's Fra Angelico. And you can learn about them. There's a ton of material. Because it's multimedia, there's images, there's video. There's a nice little organizational thing down here. So this is self-learning, but you could use this in school as you study a subject. In fact, I'd love to see teachers put together boards for class that they could share with other students. This takes advantage, I think, really in a great way of the beautiful interface of the iPad, and it really invites you in. My son is very interested. He's taking psychology this semester in school. So I think this is a great board for him to follow, the psychology board. Learnest is the name of the program. It's free. You can sign in if you wish with Facebook, but you don't have to.
Doesn't it seem like this is what Wikipedia should be?
Well, it is interesting, isn't it? I mean, this isn't the open web, so it's not as free-flowing, perhaps,
right,
as Wikipedia.
But, you know, sometimes I'll find something. Yeah, let's say I'm looking up Mars Rover or something,
right,
in Wikipedia, and it's like there's a lot of information. And then what I find myself doing is I click on those little cited articles.
You'd want it to be
because
that
I
visual
want,
and
yeah,
beautiful.
Yeah, I want a little bit more context.
And you can cut and paste content from Wikipedia. And by the way, it's not just educational stuff. Here's the entertainment section. This is a whole thing on fall TV 2012. All the different shows.
I'm so excited for Parks and Rec to come back.
Parks and Rec is coming back. The X Factor, Glee. So people are just pasting this stuff in.
Up All Night is coming back?
Yeah, isn't this great?
Unbelievable.
So it's kind of like the web, I guess. I mean, I don't know. So you're ready? Excited about Parks and Rec? And now, again, this is brand new, and so there's not a lot of content here. But you could add a comment. I love this show. Because Amy Poehler is the best.
I thought you didn't like her.
And Ron Swanson, I'm just going to say, signed Ron Swanson.
Oh.
Ha ha, get
way
it?
Way to contribute to the hive minds there, Leo. Good one.
So just to give you an idea of how you use it, there is content here. This is actually just the NBC site for Parks and Rec. But that's the beauty of this. Very easily create content. And of course, share it as well. Whoops, that went back to my board there, but I could also email, text it, share on Facebook, share on Twitter, as with many apps. I like this. I think this is a really interesting way to put a lot of information together in a lot of subjects. Doesn't have to all be academic. Here's one called How to Become Famous. The idea is that
that imposter lady again.
Maybe.
That's what that
You
was.
Would go in here, and if you're a fan of Giants baseball, say bye, bye, baby. When the Giants come to town, it's bye. Anyway, you could, if you're an expert in a subject, it's loading. If you're an expert in a subject, you would go in here, create the board for that subject, and other people would participate in it. And I just think this is really, isn't that fun? So that's educational, but it's also very visual. And what I'm really excited about is this is, you know, a lot of times when a new technology comes out like the iPad, at first people treat it like existing. Oh, it's a magazine. Oh, it's a newspaper. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's a TV. Oh, it's a radio. This is something new that is really unique to the iPad. Only a touch medium could do this. That's shared, that's online. I think it's an interesting way to use the iPad.
Yeah, especially if you're getting a bunch of information.
Yeah.
You know, you're trying to absorb a bunch of stuff about a subject you've got to do a book report on.
Exactly. Well, it reminded me of Scrivener.
Do they even call them book reports anymore?
Oh, yeah.
Do you?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Because you don't really get them from books. The whole idea is like, yeah.
You should see how much I paid for books for Henry's fall semester.
Well, I mean,
they
just the
still get books.
Okay.
Lots of
I know
of
that
them.
They get books.
And
I just didn't know if you
expensive.
Call it a book report. You almost call it a info report.
Yes, I know.
Or a knowledge.
What I read online by Leo Laporte.
Right. So there's this. There's an app that is not brand new, although the iPhone version just became 2.0, but the iPad version is awesome. And this is kind of back in that note-taking territory. It's called Drafts. And the developer of the app pinged us, but it was great timing because right around the same time, Lifehacker had written up a really great to-do about drafts, which was all about here's how you would use it to actually speed up kind of your iPad experience, not just write notes. So if I go ahead and launch Drafts here, let's get rid of this because I don't want to show you this right away. So I'm looking at, you know, a variety of notes that I've sent myself. And if I just go ahead and what I want to remember, ask Mrs.
Johnson why she is such a biddy.
Why? So that's something I just want to remember for myself, right?
Okay. I think you'll never forget it, actually,
no,
obviously.
No, I'm positive. But at this point, it was actually Miss Johnson because nobody wanted to marry her. If you want to send it out to a variety of places, here's the thing. Here's the thing
just
with Jeff.
She's not watching.
She's dead.
She was so proud of you.
I'm positive.
I was Sarah Lane's third grade teacher.
God, what if she is still alive?
And I love
She'd be
her.
The
I've been
woman in the
following
world.
Her career.
So listen, the idea behind this is that would suck, actually. And I'd say
she's dead
you
now.
Shouldn't have told me.
You broke her heart.
That bad information. You use drafts to jot down notes because you're on the go. You don't want to launch anything too complicated. You honestly just want to put it down.
Yes.
And then think about where it's supposed to go later.
I like that. Taxonomy after the fact.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the classification.
The neat thing about drafts is that where you can send it depends on what you already have downloaded onto your iPad. So I go ahead and say, all right, well, where do I want to send this? I've got Twitter, I've got Facebook, I've got email, I've got a calendar event, iMessages, copy to clipboard, Markdown preview, Markdown email, because I have Markdown downloaded, save to Dropbox, append to Dropbox, Evernote, Tweetbot. Now, Tweetbot is there because I have Tweetbot on my iPad.
Oh, so it recognized it.
Yeah, it knows a little bit.
That's
also, event and agenda. Agenda is the calendar app that I use. So that's great. So let's say that I say, all right, well, I want to make sure that that's a calendar item. Then it'll dump me into agenda. It will crash. Darn it. That sucks when this happens. Usually I haven't had that happen once. All right, so.
At least it didn't lose what you wrote.
No, it didn't.
That's a good sign.
I think it might have been agenda, actually, that crashed.
Agenda probably crashed.
Not
yeah.
drafts.
Oh, you got to get the new agenda. There's an update. There was a crashing problem with the last version of Agenda.
Oh, no
yep,
kidding?
Yep, exactly that. Force close.
That must be what
yeah.
it was. Because,
see if there's the update.
You know, I talked about Agenda on i5.
I love Agenda.
I love it.
It is the calendar I use. It replaces the iCal on both my iPhone and the iPad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're right.
You turned me on.
I may not have updated it on the iPad. That's stupid of me. Yeah. Anyway, it has gone ahead and added an event for me. It's already got the subject line populated, and then I remind myself when I want to ask Miss Johnson, why? Now, if I go back,
that's nice integration because you know if you're a student, you get assignments, you want to put them in your calendar.
Exactly.
That's really nice.
And this is just like I've got to remember.
I think
something.
Yours beat mine.
What do you? Well, no. You have good ideas too. What's neat about
these notes
is that like books. Okay, I'm thinking of really stupid stuff that you
right.
would have to remind yourself. But let's say you're a student, you're on the go, and you got to remember to get your books out of your locker, that sort of
right.
thing. Here's what's really cool if you're a Dropbox user, and this is awesome. So I have the option to save to Dropbox, which is fine. Many of us know how that works. But what's append to Dropbox? What that does is it adds it to a journal, like .txt file that Dropbox has created for you. Well, actually, Drafts has created in Dropbox for you. But this is now a file that I've added several things onto, and I'm adding notes to a single file. So let's say you've got, you know, like a grocery list, and you just want to, like, remember to add stuff to it, and you like Dropbox, and you use it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You don't use a multitude of cooking apps that we've suggested in the past, whatever. This is a great way to add to a note that you already have in Dropbox so you don't end up sending yourself 10 reminders that are 10 different files in Dropbox that you really don't need when you just needed the one. It's like a to-do list.
Mm-hmm.
So that could be for school or for anything, really. And I like this because you can almost think of it as if you have to write down anything, even if you have to send an email to somebody, you can do that all in drafts and then just send it out when you're ready. So once you get used to it, it can kind of become this, it's almost like a, it kind of becomes like a spotlight, you know, if you liken it to something in OS X, where you know that you can get the information into a variety of different apps, but you have this nice, just clean interface off the bat. So it's great. I like drafts a lot. For the iPad, it is $299. The iPhone version is $199.
I'm going to show you a program that's actually really similar. But the nice thing is this is free, so you could try this as an alternative. And what it is the outliner rethought. You know, I don't know about you, but in school, it was all about outlining, right? Learn how to use an outliner. And a lot of times people use outliners for brainstorming, for project planning, even for to-do lists. The idea of an outliner is, you know, it's like the classic outline you learned in school. You have a heading, and then you have subheadings, and then subheadings below those, and kind of thing.
I used to love that. It's like numbers, then letters, then you got creative with symbols.
That's right, and it's actually a great skill to have.
Yeah.
And there have been great outliners. Dave Weiner wrote the very first outliner for the Macintosh. It was a classic. This is a rethinking of it. It's called ThinkBook, and it's kind of interesting. It is for taking notes. It does allow you to do some interesting things, though. You can create checkboxes, for instance. You can create templates of anything. And you can also reorganize or save. Watch this. This is a page on note types. This is a project. This is a to-do list. There's question and answer notes, things like that. The kind of things students might very well be using. Watch this. I can slide this over in here. I can start collecting these and then pull them out in other spots. So this is, it indents. If I pull from the right, I can indent. And just by just dragging a note left or to right, that's not doing it. There you go. And so this is the outlining function, and it does that all automatically. And you then can reorganize by dragging it to the right-hand slider, and you can have a ton of stuff over there. You tag. We talked earlier about this taxonomy where you would give things tags. And you can also create, and I like this, a dashboard. So you can have to-do lists with checkboxes all over the ThinkBook, but then it will create a dashboard that will collate the undone stuff into a single page. So you can say, well, for math I had this, for geometry, mm-hmm. for physics I had this, and then we'll collate it all here into a page. There's a lot of really interesting things. You can see that we have headers up at the top. It's very, you know, text heavy. It's got search, of course. It is basically an outlining program. Or a notes-taking program, but it has some additional features like project management and to-do list, and it's free, so I think it's worth taking a look at. It's called Think. I'm sorry, it's not free. It's $1.99. I thought it was free. It's $1.99, so it's the same, kind of the same as yours.
Mm-hmm.
And there you go. I would say it's unfortunate. I wish it were free because it'd be nice to be able to try a bunch of these. The app does not give you a chance to try on the iPad.
What's that?
And I wish they did.
What's that service that will let you know if an app you really want?
Oh, it's free.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
We've talked about it before. If anyone in chat remembers what I'm talking about, it's app something. Anyway,
it would give you alerts, email alerts saying, "Hey, your app that you've been watching, we've been monitoring this app. Yeah. It's free now."
Hey, if you're a student,
App Advice, is that it? Apps gone free?
App Shopper.
That's
the one that I'm thinking of.
Apparently there's others.
Yeah. AppShopper.com is the one that I'm thinking of.
That's from, thank you, Mr. Krabby. That's Ms. Johnson's husband.
Hi, Mr. Krabby. No, she was not married.
Oh, okay.
We've talked about this before. You can have alerts for apps that you're like, you know, I'd really like this, but I kind of would like to wait until it's free. And a lot of developers will offer these sorts of things free for a limited time.
Ms. Johnson's in the chat room. She says she's not a biddy. I don't even know what a biddy is. Is it like 50 cents?
I think she was a straight up Miss Johnson, not Ms.
Ms.
Yeah.
There was no Mrs. then.
I don't know. Well, I don't know.
New York is a city and a state. Moving on.
Let's move on. But first, I want to remind everybody that all of the stuff that we talked about,
yes.
If you're a student and you're like, wow, some of that sounded great, but Leo talked about all this stuff and
right.
I didn't take notes. Get it?
You should have.
They're all on our episode pages. If you're wondering where those are, just go to twit.tv/IPT. That is our show episode archive extravaganza.
And you could go back to the previous ones because we did note-taking. We did a whole show on note-taking apps like Penultimate
and
other apps.
In fact,
Evernote bought Penultimate.
That's right.
Yeah.
Also, they bought the service for mocking up documents? Sketch.
Yes, love Sketch.
Sketch is great.
Yeah, we talked to Phil about that. I mean, they're acquiring some very useful stuff, and I guess they'll integrate it into the Evernote.
Brian,
universe.
Can you go back to the website just for a second? I want to just make it clear. Look how much fun we had.
It is a fun show.
If you scroll down into one of the episode pages.
Yeah.
Okay, we're on episode 112.
Yeah.
If you scroll down a bit, we had a couple people say, your show notes don't have anything in them. So here are the links. Those are everything that we talk about that at least is linkable.
So you could go right to it.
Yeah, whether it's apps or
throw
stories.
Throwboy pillows.
Or our app caps or, yeah, the Throwboys right. website, that sort of thing. However, we did have a nice gentleman offer to start taking some time to flesh out our show notes, which is a community project.
On the wiki.
That's
Yay.
Correct.
Yay.
So... and that's something that everybody can contribute to. But if you're ever like, why are the show notes not there? Show notes are not actually our jurisdiction, really. I make sure that all of the links that you're looking for are on that episode page. And then show notes, hopefully, in the near future, are going to get a lot better. Yeah,
there they are.
You can see there's stuff in there now.
We have volunteers in for almost all the shows. And if you would like to volunteer, we'd appreciate it. You can email. You have to get, because we've got so much spam on there, you have to get us to give you an account so you can edit and create pages. Just email Colin Weir, at twit.tv, and he'll give you permission, and you get access. And then we really appreciate it. It adds so much to the
value.
You
could email him jokes, too. He loves email jokes, you know? Just like, knock, knock. He likes those.
Oh, he really likes it when the joke goes out over a number of emails. Like the first email is knock knock.
Well, because you want to, you know, suspend.
So he can respond who there.
The suspense.
And then the next email would be orange, or no, like banana. Oh, see, I'm so bad at telling jokes.
That's how I always mess this one up. Knock knock.
Who's there?
To
who?
To whom?
Thank you, Miss Johnson.
But I always say knock knock. Who's there?
Whom?
Oh.
No. Who? Knock, knock. Whom? To whom?
Can you talk about GoToMeeting and save us from ourselves?
Yes, I can. I love GoToMeeting. I know that, nowadays everybody's off on vacation and stuff, but it's hard to have staff meetings. More and more we have meetings with people all over the country. When we do our engineering meetings, Spiro's in Vancouver, Bear's in Philadelphia. We have people here, and that's the way it is in business today. The good news is you can still meet as if you're meeting in person with GoToMeeting. You've probably seen the GoToMeeting screen sharing, which is the best. It's fast, easy to use, easy to start a meeting. You just click a link, download the software. Your client doesn't have to jump through hoops. Works on Macs and PCs. But now they've added this new HD Faces thing, which I really like, because not only are you seeing the other person's screen or they're seeing your screen, but you're seeing them and they're seeing you. Because it'll take advantage of your built-in camera, not just on your desktop computer, but on your iPad, too. In fact, notice she's not even using a phone. She's using the Wi-Fi on the iPad with her iPad microphone and headset. So, and the camera. She's in the meeting with an iPad. That is so, so slick. I want you to try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. It really does make your meetings more engaging. They go faster. They're more fun. If you use a promo code iPad, you can do it for 30 days free. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click the orange Try It Free button, and then the promo code, again, IPAD, and you'll have it free for 30 days. And I tell you, if you show clients and colleagues, show the boss, this will transform how you get your meetings, how you get your work done. GoToMeeting.com from Citrix, of course, so it's absolutely great. Moving on.
So, Leo, you know how you like that app Score Center? It's the ESPN app.
I use it a lot.
Well, Score Center got a makeover.
Did it really?
Yeah, because I would say that while Score Center has always been a good app as far as, you know, news and following along with, you know, your favorite teams and everything,
yeah.
It wasn't very good looking. And it has gotten just kind of a makeover.
It should be good looking, shouldn't it?
Well, yeah, because it's sports.
Yeah.
And what isn't good looking about that? You can, of course, sign into MySPN if you have a MySPN account. But... otherwise, it just looks better. Now, I wish I had the before and after. Obviously, I've already updated, so you'll kind of have to remember.
That looks good.
Or if you haven't updated your app, then...
That looks much better.
Yeah. You well, you can compare. But yeah, I mean, it just is cleaner. Before, there was a lot of gray, and it was just kind of a mess.
You know why? And Facebook did this, too, when they did their update. A lot of times, the first versions of these apps, I think, are just the web page.
Jimmy Johnson incorporated
into an app. And now they go back and say, let's make it a real app.
Yeah,
they're doing something, by the way, Facebook also does it. I really like that column on the left that you slide over the screen. More and more I'm seeing that on iPad apps, and I really like that.
I've noticed that, too. It's becoming a standard.
That's
sort of, standard. Sort of like pull down to refresh.
Right. And we needed a standard because there really wasn't one. Apple never told people how to do this, and I think that's a nice way to do it.
Not many events in the hockey world just yet. This is nice. So you can go by day. You can also, if you've got the watch ESPN stuff going on, you can get into that. You can jump around to sports. Baseball's kind of my jam right now, so you can look at some NCAA men's baseball.
Your college events. Baseball is not your jam.
No, it's true.
Major league baseball.
It's totally
by
not
the
even.
Way,
I was just trying to show you something interesting.
Something else coming new to ESPN. They're
What's
going
that?
To start AirPlay enabling their apps, including so that you can put ESPN on your TV.
Now that is in a. So that's not mirroring. That's from within the app itself.
Yes.
That's good.
That's good.
Because mirroring is a band-aid solution.
Well, because you get all the cruft. You get the full screen.
You're
not so this
really
will you'll be able
airplane.
To well, if you want to watch ESPN from your iPad, you could put it on your big screen TV if you have an Apple TV.
And that's awesome.
That's really good.
Score Center for iPad, by the way, is totally free. If you haven't downloaded already, you'll never know how ugly it used to be. But it just looks nicer.
You know, as I was browsing around looking for Score Center, I realized we didn't mention Evernote Peak as an add-on to Evernote. Have you ever used Evernote Peak?
No, but I know. Tell the world.
If you have a smart cover or something that duplicates a smart cover.
Actually, no, we have. I think it was NapCap once.
It's so great. So this uses Evernote. Whoops, it's upside down. Why is it upside down?
Because it's weird because it's...
Because it's a smart cover.
Yeah.
It has to do it with a smart cover because
it's designed to be.
So the idea is, so let's see.
Calm down.
Here's a sushi quiz.
Look at what you're showing people.
Yeah, I know. It's not working so well.
It's all
here,
your
there
head.
It is. No, I figured it out. Look. No,
but you
so you put the smart cover on, right? And what happens is you cover this up. It will ask you a question here. You peel up the smart cover, ask you a question, and then the answer peel up the rest of the way. This is a great way, if you're a student, to do flashcards.
That's right.
Really easy to do, and I just love it. So I don't have a smart cover
it's
lying
a little
around.
I do.
Don't. I just forgot.
You just wanted
we
to
hadn't
mention
mentioned
it.
This.
Well, you're
and,
right. You're right.
And since we talked about Evernote, this is one of the best things ever for a student to create their own flashcards.
That's actually it's like they're like sushi whatever. This
well, no,
seems
but it could
silly,
be.
But you
could
can
be,
make your own
vocabulary words.
It kind, All sorts
there
of
are
stuff.
Quite a few now pre-packs, but it's easy to build your own.
I love that
straight out.
I
of
do
Evernote.
That for French lessons.
Perfect.
Remember my verbs and you know where you're like. Oh,
how's that going?
Well, it's hard. It's a really hard language. But yeah, that would be actually something that I could
Are you use. You're taking French lessons?
Well, I told you that like a year ago. So.
I told you I was taking guitar lessons. Didn't mean I did it.
Well, I'm just really bad. So it's like I'm not like boasting about my French because I'm terrible and it's hard. But yes, no, I'm trying to get better. Hey, so Virgin Media has some good news for anyone who's been... who's been following along? They're
but you
going,
have to be in the UK.
Well, yeah, but we have UK viewers and listeners, so I thought that I would mention.
So they have
that come. I think it's October.
BBC iPlayer, and now they have this. These guys, the UK, you guys are lucky.
And there's also Sky Plus. Sky Plus has an iPad app. The whole idea behind this is if you're a Virgin subscriber in the UK. Particularly if you have a TiVo, but just Virgin subscribers in general now have kind of a ticket to go with you app.
What does a TiVo have to do with it?
Well, if you've got a TiVo, then you can take advantage of on-demand stuff.
So you could do your DVR like a Slingbox?
Yes.
Wow,
yeah.
That's pretty nice.
Yeah, so this is not something that's live right now. It doesn't actually say October. The latest is will be available autumn 2012 with an Android app planned for early 2013. So all the Android people, all millions of you who are watching or listening to the show. No, actually, I know that there are some of you because you tell us that you like the show despite our horrible choice in mobile OSs. That's great for the UK.
Very good.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Nice, nice, very
figured
nice.
Figured I'd throw you a bone. In fact, somebody before the show, I swear, I'm not making this up. Anyone in chat remembers, said, you know, everything's so U.S.-centric with the show. I just want a little bit more.
See, there you go. Now I feel left out.
Well.
But that's what they wanted. So
I mean,
there.
That's, hey.
You got it.
You know,
are you happy now?
Sometimes certain countries get things that no other country can claim. The UK, today's your day. Remember the iOS app Clueful?
Yeah.
So Clueful got yanked from the App Store.
But they're back.
But it's weird. So Clueful wasn't even a free app. It was like a $1.99, maybe $2.99
what
app.
What did it do?
It was the app that would basically scan what else you had
and look for security flaws
on your iPhone or iPad.
Right.
And yeah. Well, it was.
And Apple didn't like that?
No. Well, because you've got an app that's, you know,
scanning other apps.
Yeah.
So they,
exactly.
Maybe they thought Bitdefender, they didn't trust them.
Bitdefender is the company that made Clueful, right? No one from Apple ever said.
They just yanked
it.
They gave no reason. Yeah.
Bitdefender has said, we are working with Apple to make an app that makes all parties happy.
Good.
You know, okay, let's just believe that that's true. In the meantime, what Clueful has made is a free web software, basically. If you go to cluefulapp.com, you just tell Clueful what you've got. So it's not actually scanning your phone.
Yeah, see, this is the difference because it's manual.
Right. But in a way, I mean, unless you really trusted the people at
well, for instance, Instagram, right?
Uh-huh.
You want to know, are they sending my contact list out? What kind of information are they sharing about me? It's not merely for malware, right? It's what kind of privacy things are going on, right?
So go ahead and click on Instagram there, Brian, and you can see that the overview here is some of the things that Instagram
go.
Can do, right?
This is what you want.
If you click on details, it'll give you a little bit more details on, all right, well, why should, you know, something like reading my address book scare me give me pause? This makes a lot more sense, right? Because then you don't have to trust Clueful to be scanning your iOS device and not be doing something weird with the information.
Right.
This is just something that
it's a database.
You can use, as just data for yourself. And then you can selectively look up apps that, you know, you might have misgivings about. A lot of this stuff, though, is like, I looked through a few apps earlier and it's like, I know a lot of people have heard stories of apps doing things that they shouldn't or not telling people, and so they're paranoid about it, but they'll say, ooh, they can track your location.
Right.
It's like, because you told them that location services could be turned on.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, that's also, by the way, something that iOS 6 should be better about, because we're going to have a privacy control panel for apps. So instead of kind of like trying to remember what you've given apps control out of, you have sort of a one-stop shop where who's got, you know, you can look into location services in your settings and be selective about what apps have access to that. But I think Apple's just trying to do a better job so that we have less instances of people saying, my address book was scanned, what the F?
Right.
What the fudge?
Like Path did when
like
the people
Path
found
did.
Out they were very upset about that.
Path was one of many, but Path, kind of raked over the coals about that. We got an Ask Leo from Fernando in San Diego, California.
Yes.
Fernando asks, just wondering if there's any harm in leaving the personal hotspot feature enabled on my iPhone. I noticed that the blue banner goes away when I put my iPad asleep. I just wanted to see if it's best to disable it when it's not in use.
I mean, as long as you put a good password on it, it has built-in password protection. Nobody can use it.
Yeah.
It might. Now, here's the only issue. What I presume is going on is that after a period of disuse, it turns itself off anyway. But the only negative would be you're going to be using some battery power if you leave your hotspot on until such time as it turns itself off. I haven't tried this, but I would guess that to save battery life after a while, it just it turns itself off.
Yeah,
so, save battery life, turn it off if you're not using it. Certainly, don't leave it on all the time. It's not going to kill anything if you turn it on and forget about it. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't leave it on every day all the time.
All right, we got this is just weird. I wanted to talk about it because why not?
Why not?
But it's weird. It's iWeird. So, Leo, are you familiar with the recording artist Dan Deacon?
No.
He's like this electronic...
Something you young people
experimental,
like.
Experimental. People much younger than me, actually.
Okay.
But I like Dan Deacon. In fact, I was playing a little bit before the show for all the live
videos. I heard that.
Yeah. It's
that was Dan Deacon?
Yeah.
I like it.
Well,
it's kind of... It's a dubstep kind of electronica kind of...
I don't think you'd call it
trance
dubstep.
Kind of...
There's a little trancey.
Hip guy can't.
Happening.
I got to keep dancing.
Yeah. I'm a computer guy.
I'm moving. That kind of stuff.
Yeah. Well, actually, his new album is recorded with, like, he had, like, orchestra there. Anyway,
wow.
Doesn't matter. But Dan Deacon has a new app, and it's so strange.
I'm at a show.
You've got a variety of options here.
Those are big buttons?
They're big buttons. Now, okay. If I say I'm at a show.
Yeah.
This app is designed to...
It says, warning, turn up your phone volume.
Well, this is actually an iPhone app. You should know that.
Oh, you're calibrating it. Okay.
Yeah. Well, see, but I'm not at a show. So it's hard for me to show you this without actually being at a live Dan Deacon show. But if I were...
He would be sending calibration tones?
The iPad or iPhone that you have on your person while you're at the show...
Would give you a light show?
Yes. That's right. Now, I tried...
This is high concept.
Yes. I tried to fool it by just playing a Dan Deacon song really loud.
Yeah?
No, because it knows that that's not actually happening.
Wow.
Yeah. So.
So Dan at the beginning of his show says, download my app and then press the I'm at a show button and
like
you can
that.
See a light show in your hand.
Or it's just for people who are such big fans that they already have this app.
Yeah. What's the instrument?
This is just weird.
Oh, you can play along with Dan.
Oh, here we go.
Shake a.
Yeah. Don't you love it?
I guess you'd really probably have to like Dan Deacon a lot to understand the point of this. Yes.
Or you can say, you know what? That's not enough.
There's more?
There's more.
But
no,
wait.
This is just actually just the...
I want more.
A little bit more.
Tour dates. This is interesting. Mouth sounds.
Yeah,
what is that?
I can't figure it out. That's all it does.
Make sounds with your mouth.
Ma, 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 ma. I don't think it has anything to do with us.
It's high concept.
That makes sense.
You have to be pretty young to understand.
Well, yeah,
that.
If you're like, hey, well, when's he coming through town so I can check out this out? If you're in Des Moines, Iowa, it was a while ago.
So pretty soon.
If you're in...
Huntsville.
Yeah.
9-5.
There you go.
It's coming soon to the Flying Monkey.
Louisville.
You know, I think...
I like this because he's kind of weird.
Everybody will have their own app.
Well,
that's the future.
That's like saying everyone will have their own blog, and you know how well that worked out.
Yeah, you're right. But I mean, really, seriously, it's the thing to do now. Instead of just having a web page, a TV show, or a company, they want to have their own app. You want to have, and you want to be on the home page, don't you? You don't want to be on page 2 or page 3.
Mm-hmm.
I saw somebody, one of our friends, who recently, his name was Loic, recently demoted Path to his second page. Mm. And I saw another one of our friends, Dave Morin.
Now, you know that because he said so?
He said it. Well, I shouldn't say it because he said it in Path, right? And Path's supposed to be private. But what he said is, and it was aimed at me and Nick Bilton, because we all are wearing our watches now, or what do you call this? Fuel bands?
Yes, he's
and
sick of that.
It puts your fuel band at the end of each day, how you did. Or if you do a Nike Plus run, it puts it into Path. Path is a social network that's for the iPhone and iPad that's just...
Private.
It's just 150 people.
Yeah.
And Loic's saying, this is noise. Stop posting your... And then finally he said, I'm moving past to my second page. And Dave Morin said, oh, no, that's purgatory for apps. But if everybody has an app, you only get 16 icons on that front page. What are you going to do?
Wait for
on an iPhone. How many do you get you get a lot more space on the iPad.
No, but the new iPhone is going to have another line.
You get 20 apps plus the dock.
It'll be 20.
So the first place is dock.
Right.
Oh, really? They're going to be 20 because it's taller?
Well, we don't know that for a fact, but that's one of the many rumors flying around.
We should continue on because I bet you have a rumor about the iPad mini.
Do I? I wasn't even going to talk about it because we've talked about it so much more in the past.
Your close personal friend, John Gruber.
Yes.
Posited in his blog, daringfireball.net. He said, I was thinking... He's a smart guy. He does a lot of thinking. Mm-hmm. I was thinking, why would Apple have the iPhone event and an iPad mini event at the same time?
Yeah.
They're going to be separate events. One in September. We know September 12th for the iPhone.
We don't know, but we assume.
And then he says, and then about 3 or 4 weeks later in October, they'll announce the new mini iPad.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't, and that makes sense. You don't want to steal the news cycle. It'll be their music event, their iPod event. And then John Pachowski, writing in All Things D the next day, said, I think Gruber's right. And then Jim Dalrymple, who apparently is the confirmer in chief of all rumors from The Loop, said, I think John Gruber is very smart. So it seems to be the consensus is there will be two events and we will find out about a new iPad. a 7-inch.
The reason that Gruber had posted that initially was that he had cited Rene Ritchie, who has a very good track record.
iMore.com.
With iRumors at iMore.com, who said, this is going to be one big announcement. And Gruber said, you know, the more I think about this, the more I think iPhone is their cash cow.
Right.
The iPhone is a big deal on its own. And that if there is an iPad mini, that would just totally overshadow, because it'd be a new
right.
product that's never been in Apple's repertoire before. Why would Apple do that?
I'm going to add a little meta
okay.
to this, because I think the fact that John Gruber said it one day, the next day John Pachowski says it, and the next day Jim Dalrymple agrees, means that Apple called all three of them. All three of them are very well connected with Apple rumor mongers, and said, hey, can you plan a story? Let people know. Because what they're afraid of is they're going to announce the new iPhone on September 12th, and people say, and?
Mm-hmm.
And so these are better than rumors. These are Apple planning this story. The fact that it came out three separate places all at once, Apple planted this
story. Well, it wasn't all at once. It was in response.
One after the other.
All right. I like the way you think. I do.
I just think it has a lot of weight.
Theories abound.
It has a lot of weight.
When it comes to Apple, whether we like it or not. Hey, we got an email from Jerry, who's got a little bit of a question, and I think this probably applies to a lot of people who get new iPads, and then their first iPad, or the iPad that they're no longer using, gets to be a hand-me-down for somebody. He says, I'm still using the first iPad. I'm looking to upgrade to either the new iPad or the iPad mini if it's announced soon. I'll give my iPad 1 to my 9-year-old daughter. But what's required in doing this? Is she going to need another iTunes account? I don't even know if she can have one. She's only 9. Can she share my iTunes account without getting all of the apps and messages that I get? Do I need to set up a separate Gmail account for her? I'll use the restrictions section of the settings on the iPad I'm giving her, but I'm interested if you've got any tips on the subject. Now, he could use the same iTunes account and turn off app syncing between devices so that apps could be local on each device but still be tied into one single credit card.
It'd work best if he doesn't, and I think this is how everybody should do it, doesn't have his iTunes ID be the same as his iCloud ID.
Mm-hmm.
And furthermore, that his iMessage, or I guess I just call it messages now, is tied not to his iTunes ID but to his iCloud ID. Because what he can then do is have his daughter be using his iTunes ID so she gets the same apps he gets. Why buy these apps over again? But you don't want her to get your iMessages, maybe your iCloud, your calendar, your address book, all of that stuff. So have two IDs. I think everybody should do this. If you don't do it, have it already. I don't know about you, but have one that's an iCloud ID and one that's an iTunes Store ID, and those should be separate IDs. They need to be different email addresses. That's the only negative.
It is confusing, though, isn't it? That's exactly what I do.
They don't make it easy.
But it's confusing
right.
that's the advice that we're giving people. You should have two different IDs, right? An iCloud and an iTunes.
I think Apple's recognizing it now, because when you first put a Mountain Lion on a Mac,
mm-hmm.
it asks for your Apple ID, and then it gives you a choice. It says, I have separate store IDs and
yes.
iCloud ID. Actually, for the first time ever, Apple's kind of acknowledging you might have two IDs.
Mm-hmm.
And it is, I think it's a good idea to separate the two. For security, if nothing else.
I actually have two. Well, anyway.
You don't
I
want too
have,
many.
Because
you can't merge IDs. Apple's been very bad about letting people merge
well,
IDs.
Well, I've got a Twit account, and then
right.
I've got my own. And it's
just only do that if you know
murky.
You'll never want the two to be together.
Exactly. Because yeah. if you buy one on one account, Apple will not say, oh, sure, roll it over, no problem.
And you'll have to check the terms of service. But as I remember, I think it's 5 devices that
mm-hmm.
you can have share an iTunes account.
Yes. That's
so
right.
it's legal to do that. They say you may put this app on up to 5 devices. You may log into that iTunes account on up to 5 devices. And I think they'll stop you if you do more than 5 devices.
Yeah. Well, you just aren't allowed to. It'll make you deauthorize
I think so, yeah.
a computer.
Yeah.
Got a voicemail from Anonymous who wants to regain a little bit of social control.
Hey, what's up, guys? A lot of times when new apps come out, it asks you, you know, do you want to share it with your Facebook? Do you want to share it with this app? Whatever. I'm trying to figure out, is there a way to get back in control of all the apps that you shared out? And I know there's probably a danger of it, but what's the best way to get all your shared apps under control. Thanks a lot.
By the way, it's obvious when you hear his voice, that's Mitt Romney. So, but we won't say anything. Mitt, your secret is safe with us. So you have to do it. Isn't
weirdo.
It? No, I think it is.
It was a little twangy for me.
Yeah, no. Well, it's that Massachusetts meets Utah combination makes it sound a little twangy. The key is you have to go to Facebook, and by the way, do this.
Yes.
Go to Facebook,
you'll
Twitter.
You'll probably freak out at all of the things
and
you've given
Google
access to.
And any other social sites, LinkedIn. And then each of those places has a place where they say, these are the apps you've authorized. And you're absolutely right. It's a long list. Mm-hmm. And you probably want to do that on a regular basis because every time I do that, there's stuff, oh my gosh, I forgot I authorized that. Those people continue to have access mm-hmm. to your data.
And even if you're not worried about it, it might just be an app that you're just not using. So you just keep it clean. And that way it's easier to manage.
It's a great idea.
Do that from within settings on iOS. It would be nice, but there's not a way to do that locally.
And there was a website, I don't remember the name, where it linked to all of the different pages. So you made it very easy to go through your sites and go to each one by one. But it's not so hard. You just have to remember Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn if you use it, Google for sure, and just deauthorize those apps if you're not using them. Mypermissions.org. Thank you. Our chat room is so smart. Thank you, MV McFly. Mypermissions.org.
It
doesn't do it for you. I wish it did, but it does. It basically, it's just a bunch of links to the various
sites.
Hello.
Sorry, McFly. That's just what happens when I hear that name. We got a video from
Daryl. Oh, I get it. Back to the Future.
You didn't even know what I was talking about, and you just played along.
If you had a hover skateboard, I would have recognized it.
Daryl wants some help with audio editing.
Oh, it's a video question.
My name is Daryl. I'm from Washington State, and I was hoping you could help me out.
Love his clocks.
I need to edit 30 to 50 minute audio files on a weekly basis, and what I'd like to do is to be able to download those out of a Dropbox account, edit them, and then upload them back to Dropbox or get them off the iPad some other way. Whenever I've done this on a desktop, I've used Audacity, but I'd really like to be able to do this on the go and on the iPad. Was wondering if you'd be able to help me out. Maybe the chat room would have some app ideas. Thank you very much.
Hey, Daryl. Thanks for the video.
There are a couple of really good audio editors that I have used, but what you want is one that uses Dropbox.
Yeah. Now, I know that you're a big fan of SoundCloud.
SoundCloud? You could use SoundCloud, couldn't you?
Well, you know more about...
I was going to recommend...
Henry does a lot of stuff with SoundCloud.
Yeah.
But this
is the program I would use to edit. It's called Twisted Wave. So what you could probably do, I'm trying to see if it has, yes, Dropbox.
Oh, nice.
So it has iCloud and, iTunes and Dropbox and SoundCloud.
Oh, good.
So this is a wonderful, if you've used Audacity, you will recognize this immediately. This is an Audacity-like editing program. Here's the waveform. It could do multiple tracks. It's just fantastic. I mean, it's very easy to use. It can record right on the iPad.
Now, can you import easily from a variety of places?
Well, that's what puzzled me because it says import from iPod. I bet you what you could do is, and I'd have to look at this, but if you have an audio file in Dropbox, you might be able to export that to the iPod library and then import that.
Uh-huh.
See, this will get any song, right? So the question is, can I get... can I get something out of Dropbox into the which I think you can, iPod library, and then from the iPod library into this program. Twisted Wave. They also make it for Mac OS. This is a really nice little editor. There's even a Chrome plugin and a Safari plugin for online as well. Twisted Wave. And I highly recommend it. And yes, you could save back out to Dropbox. Or SoundCloud.
I'm going to make a note of that.
Oh, I love it. It's really good. And then remember, I showed you that very fancy mixer, probably more expensive than you want. What was the name of that? I showed it off in a show a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah. Did you already delete it?
No, because it was $50. I'm not going to delete it. I just don't remember where I put it.
You probably put it in a music folder.
I put it somewhere. Anyway, you can see I have quite a few things. Don't remember the name of that, but that Twisted Wave is a lot less expensive. It does everything. Mixcraft, thank you. Mixcraft is pretty heavy duty, maybe
good
more than
memory. I was trying. I'm like, that's 2 weeks ago. That's tough. I have to go to our website.
Or and of course, GarageBand.
Yeah.
Didn't even think of that. But yeah, thank you. Tix in the chat room says you can get into GarageBand for Dropbox and then would email you the sound out if you wanted.
Yeah. So
Twister Wave, $10.
Also, someone in chat noted that that whole 5-computer authorization is actually true for computers, but it's unlimited for iOS devices.
Oh, that's right.
So that's a good thing to keep in mind. If so you've got quite a few, you don't really have to worry about the 5.
If each device is hooked to the same computer, that only counts as one.
Right.
Easy peasy.
Good stuff.
There may be. I would read the terms of service. That may be that you author, but maybe they say, but you can't install an app. Can you really install an app on an infinite number of devices? Because according to that, you could.
Well,
that seems
it's
unlikely.
More than 5. Maybe not infinite. Yeah. Infinite is, you know, doesn't end.
Aurea. There's another one. That's the one I talked about last time.
Yay!
A-U-R-I-A.
A-U-R-I-A.
Chat room knows more than anybody else.
So, Daryl, hopefully between the two of us and everyone who's been submitting suggestions, you've got some really good apps to play around with and see which one works for you best. And
Twisted Wave.
Do us a favor and email if there's one that works really well and why. Just so we can keep that in mind the next time somebody asks a similar question. Hey, we love hearing from you. We love your voicemails, your videos, your emails. Keep them coming. You can write us at iPadToday at twit.tv. You can leave us a voicemail at 757-504-IPAD or 757-504-4723 if spelling out things and numbers bothers you. Or you can always send us a video as long as you upload it somewhere. Send us the link. We will try to feature it on an upcoming show. Thanks in advance.
Oh, that's a cool badge. I'm just looking at the social.ford.com site. They have, you know, these badges that you can use. I would get the Mustang badge, but there was one, my first car.
Aww.
Oh, isn't that sweet? Henry wants me to give him my Mustang
5.0
GT.
Just give it to him.
Yeah, as his first car. Dream on, Mr. Henry Laporte. But you see, these badges are fun. You're a young person. What is this badge thing? Is this, you just put them on Facebook and stuff like that? Look, road trip.
Leo, don't you know about badges?
Yeah, I know.
It's your bragging rights. This is I earned this.
Oh.
This is virtual.
Oh, and then you could share it on all these places.
Yeah.
So you could get, they have a tech geek one.
It's
which
a way
is hysterical.
Of saying I put enough effort into this.
It's like Girl Scouts.
I got a little reward.
Can I have a sash with a badge sash?
Well, no.
I'd like to have a badge sash.
Why don't you tell Ford that? Will accept.
Would you make me one, Ms. Romero, and I will wear it, and this will be my very first badge, tech geek? How about that one?
Sure.
I like it. This is at the new Ford social site, social.ford.com. If you're into Ford, I'm a Ford family, right? I love my Ford. So once you kind of, you know, you become a Ford fan, this is like a site for Ford fans. Pictures, videos of people in their Ford. You could vote for your favorite Ford classic. I have an article on here about new Ford technologies going into sync.
Also really good articles
I want that, by the way, the GT500.
Do I want an electric car? Do I want a hybrid? What are my choices? What does it all really mean?
Yeah, this is awesome. I think they only built 50 of them.
Holy crap.
I want to trade in my GT5 for this. 850 horsepower! Okay.
Yeah.
I want that car!
You'll be the big
who doesn't
man
love
in
Ford?
With
polish
this
the blue oval, my friends. Get your Ford Tech Geek badge. And by the way, lots of, if you have an idea, like a suggestion, they have it there too, social.ford.com. You can leave your ideas and vote on other people's ideas for making better Fords. I just love a company that really interacts with its customers. And this is, every company's trying to figure this out. You know, we are all the time. How do you interact with your customers, your audience, make them a part of it? How do you handle that, especially if you're a company as big as Ford with millions of customers? And I think this is a great idea. Social.ford.com. Of course, people steal those cars. He says, Leo, Web 10 and 1028, people steal those Shelbys. I'm never getting out of it. I'm going to live in it.
People steal Honda Civics, too. I should know.
Did your car get stolen?
Oh, I've had my car stolen several times.
Really?
Homeless people used to sleep in it. They're easy to get into. It's true.
Look,
good morning. I have to go to work.
No.
Get out of here.
You'd go to your car and there'd be somebody sleeping in it?
No, that actually never happened.
No.
But sometimes there was like cigarette smoke in there and evidence
I don't like that. Yeah, somebody was there.
People.
Yeah.
Anyway, my point is, it's not like Ford is more vulnerable.
No.
In
well,
fact,
something is as desirable as that 50 limited edition GT500 Shelby.
Well, yeah, you know, and you
that,
should.
People are going to want to take that, but
you
don't
have nice jewelry either.
You don't get out of the car, and you're all right.
Yeah, that's the kind of car you want to sleep in.
I'd say get out of here. I'm driving this.
Get out of here,
get
man.
Get out of here,
woman. Hey, will you give me a nap cap?
Yeah.
Thank you.
This is fun because I like it when I get to choose your app cap.
You do?
Yeah.
Pick one that's really good.
Oh, that's harder than just any old one.
I love it.
That's you.
I know.
It's totally you.
And
you
I've
look
never
great
felt
in that.
More like myself.
And doesn't this look good on me? I really. This is me. These are my people.
Now you look awesome. And
I think
not
I really
joking
look. This
at
is
all.
This.
The
I,
Stetson look works. For
it
me.
Works for me.
It does.
I am going to wear this from now on.
Yes.
You know what they say like in Texas? You do this. You say,
I'm like a you know.
Crazy lady.
Psycho Yankee Clipper lady.
Crazy lady.
I'm Carissa. You guys didn't like my yellow nails? Well, this is worse.
When you wear this in Texas, they say, big hat, no cattle.
Looking good. That is a delightful hat.
I think so. It's flattering.
You need a, you know, you got a.
Yeehaw!
Yeah. Let's go to the rodeo.
I got some pointy boots in the other room. I'm going to get them on.
All right. And what's nice about this one is there's a little wire in it, so I can sort of make it anything I want.
Yeah,
I could have used this.
There you go.
Got a little cow. What? There's nothing funny about this. This is serious stuff.
Serious.
Hey, so my app cap this week is pretty exciting for anybody who knows anything about writing screenplays. You laugh, but this is serious business. Are you ready?
Yes.
What? You don't think this looks good? Hey, little lady.
Hey, little lady. You look good. You look mighty fine.
Thank you. Final draft is
you know,
the app.
Make my Palomino.
Shut up.
Okay.
I'm talking about apps now.
Please, let's
this
see your app.
This is part of the show, by
no,
the way. If you watch
serious.
This for the first time and you're like, why are they so insane? I don't have the answer.
No one knows.
But we wear hats when we talk about our app picks of the week. These are the apps. Leo picks one and I pick one that we love. And we show you why. They're cool.
I got it. We're a movie title.
What?
Cowboys and Aliens.
Or? Yeah, I don't know. Yes, sure.
Give you a little time to think
about
that.
Do you want to hear about Final Draft
yes,
or not?
Because
I will just end
this show. This is a very famous desktop app for
That's
screenwriters.
Right.
Everybody
yes.
uses this.
Yes. This is anyone who has worked in Hollywood even half of a day.
I can't believe they put this on the iPad.
Anything about Final Draft. Now, you look at the price tag and you go, $30. Oh, my goodness. That is the cheapest Final Draft version you're ever going to see. This is truly an extremely...
Was hundreds of dollars on the desktop?
Yeah. It's not the same.
But if you're
thing.
Writing a movie, this puts it in the format that the producers or
that's exactly
Hollywood
right.
expects.
So, for example, let's just show you a script that's fleshed out so you get an idea of
Twit
what I'm
talking drama.
About. Yeah, I'm starting to write a screenplay for
Ooh,
us.
Park
so
Slope,
this
Brownstone,
is,
daytime.
There are screenplays, you know, you write them in a certain way. Now, it's not to say that you couldn't write a screenplay and not use it in this format, but this is not only an industry standard, but it's actually, once you get the hang of it, you know, even if you haven't written screenwriting or you haven't been in screenwriting classes, it actually really helps you if you want to make the screenplay a finished product.
Yeah.
So you've got, you know, stuff like, okay, we've got an exterior shot here. We've got Kara setting the scene. Looks like she's reading to her little sister. And then we've got some dialogue. This is all kind of getting indented specifically. So Kara talks, Allie talks. We've got a little bit of drama that is throwing books on the floor and so on. Then we've got another internal, INT means internal shot, of an apartment office during the day. So you're getting an idea of, if you read this, you're not really reading you are reading a story, but you're reading a screenplay version of a story. So it's all kind of there. All the information is there. So that when, as a director, you see something like this, you can go, okay, yeah, I use a little bit of, you know, my own creativity, but the whole thing's laid out there. Now, if you look at the same script, but this is called the shooting script, it's a little bit different. Now, what the ones and the twos are is... They are
scenes.
Well, yeah, but you can also apply that to different characters. Ah. So it's basically you're just giving yourself notes. Like, you know, you want to make sure that, right. yeah, you've got your exterior or your interior scenes or your different characters. These are all things that you can manage yourself. So, for example, scene numbers. You can say, I want that for either a scene heading or when I get, you know, dialogue or action, that kind of thing. Now, if this is all,
makes it so much easier.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's really nice. And if you've got, like, again, this is the iPad keyboard isn't for everybody. I know it isn't for me if I want to write a whole screenplay. But if I've got an add-on keyboard, I'm good to go. This is not different than the software that I've always known to be a lot more expensive. Now, if you're kind of like, I'm not sure how this is working. This is my new drama. We've got an interior location. It's the afternoon. I am looking impossibly cool and hip just to get, you know, give the director an idea, you know, of what the scene is like.
And Sarah Jessica Parker, you're thinking maybe for the role?
Why? Because her name is Sarah?
Yeah.
No.
Because you kind of look like her.
Well, I don't know.
Oh, no, you're
People
Jennifer Aniston.
She has a horse face, so I don't know if I want
Jennifer
to look like
Aniston,
her.
That's who you look like.
I don't look like her either, but whatever. It doesn't matter. So the idea is that not only do you have, okay, well, I have the opportunity
Reese
to start
Witherspoon,
writing stuff.
Maybe.
No, I don't look like her. But what, yeah, just it doesn't matter who's going to play me. That's not important. What's important is that I get the drama written first.
Well, you better fix that last line. Yeah. I don't think you could pronounce that.
Well, that's the alien. The alien's going to drop in. So here's what you get in Final Draft is you get all these neat keys that might be unfamiliar to you beyond your keyboard. So I've got my new scene.
Emma
right?
Watson.
Watson.
That's exactly who should play
We're the
you.
Same age.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
So I've got, here's these are like nice little shortcuts, right?
Or
so,
Daniel Radcliffe.
Or that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or the redhead.
The redhead.
All of them.
Yeah.
Would work just fine. I've got some options of if I want to set a new scene, right? You know, I was talking about
this
interior,
looked like Jennifer
exterior.
Aniston myself.
I have heard that in the past.
Yeah.
I think it's just because we both had long hair. So here's a cool thing. Are you even paying attention?
I'm totally paying attention.
So since I've already established that there's a character named Sarah, Final Draft is smart enough to know
it keeps track of that.
When I go ahead and click on a character.
You mean Sarah? Did you mean Sarah?
Yeah.
Yeah, Sarah.
Right. So now
that's kind of neat.
Yeah. So if you've got a bunch of characters.
It speeds things up.
Yeah, it's great. It's I could go on and on. I mean, this isn't a screenwriting class today, but I think that if you're familiar with Final Draft, you're going to be like, oh my gosh, $30 is a steal. If I use my iPad at all. And if you're not, it's something to, you know, it's $30. But if this seems like something that you're interested in, I can tell you that this is the screenwriting app of choice in the industry. It's not for, like, you know, beginners who don't know what they're doing.
And then when you accept the Oscar, you can say, I wrote the whole thing on an iPad.
Right.
And thanks to Sarah and Leo, I think that's his name.
Do you know how much attention somebody would get if they said that?
It
would be like a pretty big deal.
It'd be a big deal.
For
Final Draft. This could be the first thing ever written on an iPad.
That's right. So if you are about to win an Academy Award for screenwriting, whether it's original or adapted, take our advice to heart. Make an impression with your speech and thank your iPad.
Dame Judi Dench could play me in the movie.
Play you?
Yeah.
Yeah. She's lovely.
So JPL
has... The Exotic Marigold.
Did you watch the... I haven't seen that yet. Is it good?
No. It's boring.
You didn't like it?
It's for olds.
Well, I'm old.
Well, you might like it.
Did you like Cocoon?
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's different, though. Wilford Brimley's in that.
Wilford Brimley. All I need is a mustache.
Yeah.
So did you watch Curiosity Landing? That was exciting for us geeks.
Why couldn't I? There was a good reason I couldn't. Oh, I was coming back from Las Vegas.
You were playing Scrabble or something.
Yeah.
You were busy that night. But I thought it was very cool.
And of course,
people who did it were the JPL, mm-hmm. Jet Propulsion Lab in Pasadena. And they've made, at the California Institute of Technology, a app that I think is very cool. And I know that all the space freaks probably already know about this yet. But if you don't, you're going to love this. It's called Spacecraft 3D, and it's free. And let me find it here. Here we go. So it's from JPL. Now, you get... it only comes with a couple of spacecraft to start with. Curiosity on Mars, Grail, I don't even know about it. I guess it's another rover. But let's do Curiosity. Now, I should mention, the first thing you're going to do is you're going to print out a marker, because this is an augmented reality program. They have an iPhone program, and they have a smaller marker for the iPhone. This is the augmented reality target. Okay, so I'm going to put this on the floor. Okay, now, I'm going to center it in the screen. Okay. Oh, look, there's the Curiosity.
Whoa.
Look at that. It's on our carpet. It's actually more interesting. Maybe I should put this in your lap.
Okay.
Because that'd be more... Well, I can't shoot it that way.
No, you can.
We have a camera over there?
Yeah.
Oh, we have a handheld.
Yeah.
So look, Curiosity Rover is in Sarah's lap.
Isn't that funny? Yeah.
And then
I can even move it over to my...
And then I can do things. I can have the arm. Look, the arm is going to grab your iPad.
Fun.
It's going to type. We can raise the mast. Isn't this cool?
So the high-gain antenna.
So what it's doing is it's seeing the target, making that the surface of Mars.
What?
I know. And it follows the target. Is that... Oh, wait a minute. I'm going to turn around.
Okay.
Ah!
This is so...
If you have a child,
please download
it's just
this
magical.
App immediately.
It doesn't really do anything.
It's so cool,
but
though.
It's just
Look
magical.
That.
That's an example of augmented reality. So
That's
what
so
it's doing
cool.
is it's seeing the pebbles on the target. And you can see the target there. That's in Sarah's.
Also, I spilled at lunch.
I see that too.
Like
we'll hide that right now.
Point that out.
Put the target in front
of
the spill.
Thinking.
And so it's the iPad camera sees the target and it puts the Curiosity on there.
I'm a little rover.
I mean, it doesn't do a whole lot. I can make it bigger.
I'm a big old rover. Yeah.
And if you do something particularly cool. You could take a picture of it.
How cool is that?
Isn't that cool?
It's so cool.
Free. It's called Spacecraft 3D. You want to see what the moon rover looks like?
Yes.
Okay, we got the screenshot. All right, let's do the Grail. I don't know. It's fun. It's sad. This is why this is a good program, because I don't know a thing about the Grail. So now I'm going to learn about the Grail.
Let's learn about the Grail.
It's not that interesting.
Well, I doubt that's true.
The Grail can't even do much except rotate. So stick with the... It's too big. Smaller
if
Grail.
If you're a space nerd, the Grail is going to be very interesting.
What is the Grail? Because I don't know.
It's holy.
A pair of robots that are mapping the gravity.
It's a pair of robots. Oh, this is the gravity mapping experiment. Yeah, this is very interesting. Because I guess that grid is the plot of gravity on the moon. How about that? Isn't that wild?
God, we can even put this into education apps.
Yeah. Well.
You know?
I mean, it's not like we can do a whole lot with it, but I just think
awesome.
It's really neat.
Yeah.
And a great thing to share with a kid, because you put this on, you know, on the dinner table. Go ahead, show me the target again. Put it on the dinner table, and there's Curiosity on your dinner table.
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
Mom's going to love that.
Yep.
Hey, Curiosity is on our dinner table.
Free.
Look, Mom.
So, so somebody's saying, well, where do you get the Pebble Grid thing? Well, you get it. It's in the app. So I didn't show that part. We'll go back to the front page of the app. Before you do that, you say get marker. And there's two things you can do. If you have a printer, an AirPrint printer attached to your iPad, you can print it directly from the iPad. I just emailed it to myself. And so you get, this is the big one. And then if you're using the iPhone, it has a littler one. This AR target, AR is augmented reality target images of grains from an Oregon sand dune. And it was actually taken by a test version of the Mars hand lens imager. For Curiosity, it's about 1 inch or 2.5 centimeters across. And you can also get a little Curiosity badge for yourself. So that's free, and it's from the JPL and California Institute of Technology.
That's wonderful.
Isn't that fun?
JPL.NASA.gov.
I've been meaning to show that for weeks. I started playing with it after Curiosity, and I just kept forgetting.
I feel like you've got a Texan accent going on right now.
Well, I don't know what you mean.
It's just happening because of...
It's the hat.
You're so comfortable.
It's the hat that does that.
But, yeah.
Yeah.
Been wanting to show this off for a couple of weeks.
It's good stuff. It's really good.
New York City.
Look at that.
Darling, bring it after
yeah,
you.
Yeah, little darling. There you go. All right, little lady.
All right. That's it for this episode of iPad Today.
Surely is, ma'am.
Boy, did we have... Stop calling me Shirley. It was a packed show.
It
we
was jam-packed. It was like 4 hours long.
It was felt like 4 hours. Gosh, are you even watching anymore?
Oh.
If so, you deserve a Ford badge. Remember, you can subscribe to us if you never want to miss a show. But for those who watch live, thank you so much. You've been extremely helpful today. You always are, but we asked you for advice and you were giving it to us live.
They did. They gave us a movie title for us.
What?
Now, I said the Cowboys and Aliens.
Yeah.
They said Beauty and the Beast.
Lady and the Tramp.
That's close enough.
I mean, that makes sense, right? Yeah, let's just not share spaghetti.
I'm a saddle tramp.
I like my own.
It's a beautiful night. It's a beautiful night. Thank you, everybody, for joining us.
See you next time on iPad Today.
Yeehaw!